Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
You're listening to midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice weekly for needlework artists. Boy, it's been a while since you and I have talked. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I got to looking, and I realized that you were closed for a while over Christmas and took a well-deserved break. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
The last call we had was December 15th.
Yep, that's about right. Yep, so a month and a half. Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, no, that that two-week break there at Christmas, yeah, needed that. Recharge.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm glad you were able to do that.
Yeah, needed to do it. So, all right. Yeah, so we got to get caught up on your classes and your new designs and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, probably some things going on there. Tonight, be sure and join us because we go back to Sydney, Australia. We resume our tours at the Embroiderers Guild Galleries, Gallery 76, with April. And their Lace Festival has just started. This is one of their biggest events of the year. And April is going to give us a little tour of lace of all kinds, I'm sure, from all parts of the world. So 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time, on the YouTube channel. Don't miss it. It will be a good one. This is really a big deal for them. And so really fortunate to be able to get involved in that and see what April has, what they yeah, it's a big deal. So join us for that. Then if you remember from last week, Amanda Rowe, the solitary stitcher, has made available for us for free download a sampler she reproduced. The sampler is Mary Jane Fry 1861. It's free. You can download it and stitch it. And I'm sure that Kim at Sassy Jacks or Kathy at Needle and Haystack can help you put a kit together. But download that, wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. So MJF for Mary Jane Fry, MJF1861. Absolutely free, beautiful little sampler. You'll enjoy it. And thanks to Amanda for making that available to us. Very kind of her. So yay for that. We got so much stuff coming up. February 21 now, Emily Ferris. Look her up on Instagram. What a talented young lady. Embroidery, needle painting, embroidery. Really talented and just such a pleasant individual. Really enjoyed talking with her. So February 21, we'll have a podcast with Emily. And then that afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern time, Emily is going to be with us live on the YouTube channel. And we'll get to talk with her and see her designs and just learn from Emily. So mark that on your calendar too, February 21 at 2 o'clock. Beth and I have started the 100-day project. All right, well, Beth started the 100-day project. I moved snow on day one. Yeah, with 8 or 9 inches of wet, heavy snow, and when I got done, I couldn't lift a needle if I wanted to. So Beth has started. The hashtag is FT100Day, 100, the number 100, then the word day, then 2021, to do something stitch-wise every day. For 100 days. Beth has day one off and running. I'm behind already, but I'll get caught up. I will. Promise. I want to try it. Also, continuing to keep Karen Kluba and her family on your prayer list as they deal with and mourn the loss of her daughter. So keep Karen, her husband, son-in-law, and two grandkids all on your prayer list, and I'm sure there are many others in the family. That's most difficult, to bury a child. And, well, I've never done it, and I don't want to volunteer. I can't imagine how awful that must be. So keep Karen in your prayers as we as they work through that difficult time. And, of course, we're still doing the Spring Hill Stitch Along. So connect with Kathy Ray at Needle and Haystack to get your kit. You can still catch up because I have not put a single stitch in. But you better hurry because I'm going to be stitching on that soon. So there we have that. Yeah. Stitch-alongs. We start them. I have them. But I can't keep up.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun for everybody. But I just can't keep up. I just can't. Let's see. One more thing on the list is, Oh, so wetalkfiber.com/springhill will get you to the order form page at Needle in a Haystack, and you can get in on the Spring Hill Stitch Along. A lot of fun with that. Jennifer and Beth moving right along. Gary, not yet. Hashtag is FT Spring Hill on Instagram to share what you have done. And then we had talked about Cosmo Threads from Sassy Jacks. And so Kim has set up a thread club for Cosmo Threads. And that is 20 skeins per month for $21 plus shipping. So that's underway right now. And we'll use, you can use just wetalkfiber.com/Cosmo, C-O-S-M-O. And that will get you to the page at Sassy Jack Stitchery. And you can get in on that. And if you use the code FT for Fiber Talk, FT Cosmo, F-T-C-O-S-M-O, for your first order, then you will get 5 Fiber Talk Blues skeins free with the first order. So you'll get 25 skeins with your first order for $21. And then after that, it's $21 for 20 skeins per month for this thread club. So if you want to collect the Cosmo threads, they're beautiful threads, really nice. You can do that through Sassy Jacks, and be sure and use that code FTCosmo to get 5 blue skeins with your first order. Thanks, Kim, for setting that up. That's great. Okay, that's all the announcements. That's all I got.
And thank you for joining us today on Fiber Talk.
That's right. That's right. So, most curious, now you just posted, we're recording this on Monday. I said tonight because you're going to hear it on Wednesday, but we're recording on Monday, and you just posted your February, your little February design.
Yeah.
That's a nifty little thing. Was it broken heart or prepared heart? How does that work?
It's called mended heart.
Mended heart.
Okay. So.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. One of the things that we decided to do this year, just to try and see if it was, you know, if people liked it, was to do a kit of the month. And the kit of the month includes usually, well, so far, for the 2 months that we've done this year, a line-drawn canvas.
Hey, the plan is working so far. Go with it.
Yes, it is. A line-drawn canvas. So, you know, it's not strictly counted, although there is some counting that's involved, but it's a line-drawn canvas, all the threads you need, the needles, and any embellishments. Of course, the instructions. The only thing it does not include are 2 pairs of 8-inch stretcher bars, which you will need for all of them this year. It is not a club. So if you like January, but you don't like February, you can get January. Or if you like February and didn't care for January, that's fine. Just get the one you want. They will be available all year, not just in the month that they're released. And so, yeah, we're having fun with it. And so the design for this month, and it's the first. I mean, today has been absolutely bonkers because on Monday I post my stitch along on my website. Then I started a class with Shining Needle Society on Zoom. And then I also had the release of the kit of the month because it's the first.
Good planning, Debbie. Well done.
I'm just like, how did all this happen? Anyway, so the heart design for February is stitched with red and gold threads. This time I used Splendor Rainbow Gallery Silk and Silk Lame Braid and Glisten. All are Rainbow Gallery threads, and Glisten is a wool and metallic braid. Very nice, very, very pretty thread. And so the concept for the mended heart is, as I was reflecting on the past year, a lot of us have experienced a broken heart. And, you know, sometimes things in our past have hurt our hearts, but when we are healed, when we are repaired, usually we're stronger. So I thought about this concept In Japan, there is a tradition of repairing broken pottery pieces with gold. They take gold dust and mix it with lacquer and repair the broken places in the pottery so that the broken place becomes part of the history of the object. Rather than try to hide it or obscure it, they embrace it and make it a and beautify it and make it part of the history. And so that's the concept behind my little mended heart is we will repair the broken places, but we're going to embrace those broken places, make them part of our history and not hide them, but beautify them.
I
So
thought that
that's
was
my
so cool. I did not know of that practice, that tradition of repairing with gold. And because I saw your, I saw the design, and I thought, well, that's an interesting way to join sections of a broken heart with gold. Because, but it's awful obvious, Debbie. Are you sure you wanted to do that? And then I read the thing, and oh, now that's really cool. That's, yeah, that really now adds meaning to it. That was really good. Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought so many of us have experienced heartache over the past year, you know, from loss of various kinds, loss of people we loved, loss of job, loss of friends, loss of stability, loss, a lot of loss.
Yep.
And so, you know, we can come through this and be stronger because of it. And so, I had been thinking about that quite a bit. And so when I came to February's design, I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. Now, the gold that I'm using is from Krynek. It's called Jasseron number 5, and it's a pearl that's used in gold work. And there's not a whole lot of it. This is not, you know, don't go, oh my God, it's gold work. Can't do
Yeah. Yeah. Eight people just
that.
freaked, like, oh no.
Well, let me tell you something about Jasseron. One of the very first counted canvas designs that I ever did that was my own design, I used Jasseron. I had never done gold work. I had never used it before, but I liked it. I liked stitching on it. It was wonderful. And so what it is like a gold coil, very tightly coiled. And so when you are ready to couch it in place, you just couch it. You don't sink it. You don't stitch with it. You lay it on the canvas and then you couch over it. And so what you do is you bring the needle up and lay the thread over the coil and then pop it down. And it has this most satisfying feel. And you can hear this pop as it goes down and it holds it in place. And I loved working with it. And so, you know, this is a very little bitty, teeny tiny taste of gold work, but it's not a big, huge, oh my God, we're going to couch 97 yards of stuff. This is very small, very small.
Yeah. No, it's neat. It really gives a neat effect. What did Mary Corbett say to me once? Gold work isn't hard, it's just tedious. So just enjoy it. For
Yeah,
that.
and this isn't all that tedious because, you know,
Yeah.
it's just two or three little lines and it's not that bad.
Right. Well,
So,
and yeah, you know where the thread's going to go, right in between the.
exactly.
Yeah. So it's not like you have to hunt for a spot or anything.
No,
Yeah.
no.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's an awful neat effect. And to have that tradition behind it is just, it adds an extra dimension. That's really great.
Well, I hope people enjoy it. I think that, you know, we had a good response to our little snowman that we had in January, and the snowman is still available. And Rod used his 3D printer to make the arms and the nose. And so those are completely unique. You're not going to find them anywhere else.
A creation by Rod Rowley.
A creation by Rod Reilly. And, you know, it was my request and my specifications. And so, you know, it's very seldom that a designer gets to tell somebody, okay, I want it to be exactly this and exactly this length and exactly this depth and exactly, you don't ever, you have to take what you can get and
Right.
work with it. But oh
Right.
no, not, I got to choose what I wanted. And so it was really cool.
That's
And I
fun.
enjoyed it. And so the little snowman is stitched. He's padded because we stitch over felt circles, and the felt circles are included in the kit, along with the little arms and the nose and crystals to use for the lumps of coal for his eyes and mouth and buttons. And all the threads, you know, I used some Rainbow Gallery threads and some Presentia threads. All the needles, there's two tapestry needles and a chenille needle. I mean, it's all there. All you need are stretcher bars.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. You're with those two, you're really kind of getting away from standard counted canvas stuff here, doing little extra things.
Yeah. You know,
be careful now. Don't go crazy on us.
Every technique, you know, I might repeat some, but so far everything's going to be different. I'm working on March now. And so, I'm using different techniques for March. I've thought about what I want to do for April, and that's going to be different too. So, yeah.
That's neat. No, little and stretching of the techniques. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very small, very, very small. The design is 4 inches square.
So not a lifetime project here.
Doable between other things. And because it's line drawn, you know exactly where to put your stitches. I mean, it's, you know, of course I've got instructions as well, but with all the diagrams and everything that you need, but you know, you know, stitch to this line and stop.
Yeah. People can follow those kinds of instructions. Yes.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're having fun with it. And Rod is helping me with the, put the kits together, and he drew the canvases for February.
Go Rod. All right.
Yeah.
Man, Debbie has an assistant. Check that out.
I do. He said, is there anything I can do to help? And I said, well, you know, I started outlining all this. Okay, what are the things that only you can do? Only I can write the instructions. Only I can do the design. Only I can do these things, do the stitch diagrams. And he said, but I could draw the canvases. I said, yes, you could. And I showed him exactly how to do it. And, you know, and so he's helping.
That's excellent. Well, and he's got the mind to do that exactly right, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his mentality would be, yeah, just so. So that's great.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, you need people. You need people.
Yeah. you need some staff.
Yep.
Like, you know, you've got Marga. Marga is your staff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this stuff doesn't get done without her. I guarantee you that. Yep. It gets ugly in a hurry. Yep. Yeah. So I was wondering, now you've been doing live classes on a regular basis now for several months. Is there, and there's a learning curve obviously on your end, but I've wondered, because I've not done an online class, so I have no idea. How has that progressed from the student perspective? Have you seen people get more comfortable, start to figure out how to take full advantage of these classes? Are you seeing that the instruction and the exchange is more effective now than it was when you first started? How has that all played out? Because I've just been curious about the human aspect of that.
Well, you know, I can't speak to how other teachers are doing their online classes. I can only address how I'm doing mine. And so adding the Zoom element to my online classes, I hate to say it's not necessary, because I really like having the interaction with my students, and that for me is a huge benefit. When I do my online classes, of course, you know, the students get all of the instructions in a written book. I mean, it's not downloads, and it's, you know, some of them are 140 pages. I mean, just really extensive. And they get big graphs. And I send all of my students a big, larger than life size color picture of the piece, so that, you know, in class, they pass around a model. Well, we can't do that. But everybody has their own picture that they can look at. And then I also put that picture and the main graph on the website where we have the classroom, so that you can enlarge it on your screen and look at it as much as you want to, and zero in on a particular area, and especially with the graph, to have it big so you can count it. And then every week.
So that compensates for the model in the class,
right?
And it's big enough so that you could literally count stitches on the photo.
You could, you know, Rod takes my photos and he makes sure that they're nice, sharp focus so that we can enlarge it, because sometimes if it's not focused well, you can't enlarge it. It just gets fuzzy.
Right.
But then, you know, also the main graph, the big tabloid graph that I include in all of my books in the back of the book, I put that online as well so that you can enlarge that, because I find, like, for instance, when I print one of my graphs, I try to print it larger than 18 count on the page.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not always possible. Sometimes the biggest I can go is like 16 or 14 count. And that can be really difficult to count is exactly the lines. And so having the graph online to where you can enlarge that as much as you need to for actual counting is very helpful as well. I try to, in my instructions, you know, I'll introduce a stitch and then I'll show you exactly where it goes in relation to the other stitches that are already on the piece, so that you can count from what's already there, and I can make that bigger than the main graph. And so, you know, I try to do that for my classes. And then I also have video stitch demonstrations. And so all of my students get playlists so that they can play the videos when they're ready for them as many times as they need to. And I tell my students, watch it all the way through once, then start it again and stop it and stitch what I've stitched, and then start it again and stop it and stitch what I've stitched, and go through it step by step with me.
Yeah.
And so that's really helpful. And then see that
for me is a plus of online courses compared with a live class where you don't have video support. You know, if somebody doesn't make those little videos, because that's, if you're really having trouble, you can just start and stop all you want.
Yeah.
And actually do the stitching one step at a time. I think that to me is a real powerful thing. And I think that we'll see more and more of that, even with when we're able to do live classes again, more video support as people are more comfortable with the technology, that you should be able to walk away from a class knowing that there are videos that you can go watch. Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, what I do with my, I've been, when I started teaching classes, let's see, I've been teaching five, six years in classroom situations. I started with the video stitch demonstrations, because all the classes that I had taken, the teacher would say, now y'all come up and gather around. And so you've got 20 people trying to look over the teacher's shoulder, and you may be upside down to what the teacher's doing, or there's somebody in front of you and you can't really see. And so I thought, okay, there's got to be a better way. And so I took my projector and my screen and I showed the video in class. So everybody stays in their spot. Everybody can see. And I always tell them at the beginning, I'm going to show you videos. And I'm going to, if you will email me, I'll send you the links to all the videos. You can watch them as many times as you want to. And you can, I could just see everybody just relax. You know,
and there you have it. There you have it right there.
Yep. Pressure is taken off of me. I don't have to get it all in class in the next day or 2 days. I can do this whenever I want to.
Yep.
Great.
Huge. Well, that's huge. That's huge.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that everybody can see that they're not trying to look over somebody's shoulder. They don't have to get up, because, you know, we do have some people that have mobility issues. But, you know, even if you don't have mobility issues, by the time you've built your nest with your stitching frame and everything that you've got, it is not an easy proposition to get up and down.
Right.
You have to be intentional about that.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Once you're in,
once you're locked in, you're in. Yeah, I'm not getting up again. And so, you know, with my online classes, we start off with that, with the videos, instead of, oh, you can get them later.
Yeah.
And then every week I will write a lesson saying, this week we're covering this blah, blah, from page to page, and it's got these stitches in it, and here's some tips about how to start and stop the threads for these stitches, you know, just the things that I would have said in class.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting more student-to-student exchange as time is going on? Is that starting to play a bigger role?
Well, see, now that's the thing that's always been missing from an online class is you don't know who else is in the class. And if you were in a face-to-face class in a classroom, you would know everybody else who was in your class, and you would, after, especially of a four-day class, you develop a rapport and a relationship with the people who are sitting around you.
Right.
And you get up and you walk around and you see what everybody else is doing, and you go, oh, I didn't do it that way, I did it this way, and you share ideas. If somebody asks a question and I answer the question, chances are at least two or three other people had the same question but didn't want to ask it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the class acts as a cohesive unit. And that has been missing from the online classes. Now, when we started with the Zoom, I've just started this last October with my online class that I taught Adagio for Shining Needle Society. And then I also used Zoom for my A&G virtual classes that I taught. What I was seeing was the students that were in on the Zoom sessions were interacting with each other in that same way.
Ah, okay.
And they are putting they're sharing their photos with each other more. They create a photo album and put their progress pictures in there. And I've not really experienced that with some of my other online classes. And I'm delighted to see it, especially because, you know, I do encourage my students to change colors if they want to. And I do have several students who do that, and we love seeing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the fact that they feel the free, oh, I know these people, I feel the freedom to share photos with them, and they cheerlead each other, they encourage each other, and it's great. I love it.
So we're starting to see, because I've just been watching all of this a lot, and see it with my magazine job, you know, the day job. All of the conferences and seminars and all that stuff that I go to all the time have all become online. And so, and I've mentioned this before, I'm most curious to see when this pandemic gets under control, which we all pray that it does sometime. it's changing the way we share information now. And I think a lot of that is going to stick. Because there are real advantages. There's disadvantages, no question. Face to face, there are some very definite disadvantages by not having that. But as we get more used to the technology and using it, I just believe that we're going to be in this area better off in terms of education, because we'll have more options. And even when we have live courses, the support that will be available after you leave. Because for you to say, when you know, the reaction, when people know that there's video support when they leave the room, that everybody relaxes, that is just gigantic in terms of the dynamics of education, the give and take between classmates and the give and take between instructor and student. It's just huge to have everybody just relax, because they'll take in more information that way. And so I just think that there's some real pluses that are going to come out of this, and technology is going to give those to us. We just had to get over that hump and get comfortable with it. And so you're describing to me what I just have been thinking is going to be the benefit that comes out of this. And so that it's really great. So the Zoom part, then people can see each other, is starting to at least in some way take the place of and at least resemble being in a classroom then together. You're starting to see those dynamics.
Yes. Well, and one thing also that I do, you know, I have a playlist of all the videos that go along with a particular class. I record the Zoom sessions and then I add the sessions to that playlist.
Oh.
And it is a specific playlist for that class only. So, for instance, the class that I'm teaching now is mostly Amadeus, and so I have my basic playlist. And so when I add the Zoom session to it, it's now going to become mostly Amadeus Shining Needle Society. And so that way, only the people in that class will see those recordings.
So yet another benefit, because now I can take that class over and over again. If I'm really struggling with an area, I can take that class as many times as I want.
Exactly.
See, and see, for me, that's really great because that helps people realize real value for the investment they make to take the course.
Right. Well, and, you know, I don't want anyone to feel concerned about privacy issues or things like that. And one of the things that I also do is my playlists for my classes are unlisted, which means if you go to YouTube, you will not be able to find them.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some videos on YouTube that are public that anybody can see, but I feel that if somebody paid to take a class, that this is a value added for them. And so,
well, it should be. I mean, it absolutely should be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They are the ones that should benefit from the time and the equipment and the expertise that we lend to creating our videos and all of the. They're the ones that should benefit because they're paying for it.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it should not be after the fact, should not be available to everyone for free to. No, absolutely not. No, no, I'm with you 100% there. But for those people who paid for the class, they are getting full support for as long as they need it.
Absolutely.
And really then it eliminates the question about whether I can do this project.
Right. The pressure.
Yeah.
It eliminates a lot of the pressure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and a lot of times when you take a face-to-face class, when you're in a classroom situation, the teacher says, okay, let's stitch this stitch. And so you work on this one stitch for about 20 minutes. Okay. Now we need to work on this other stitch.
Right.
So count over 47 canvas threads and put this stitch there. What if you count wrong and you feel this tremendous pressure? And then you've got spaghetti all over your canvas from a little bit over here and a little bit over there. And at the end of the day, you look and you haven't stitched hardly anything at all.
And see, that happens to me every time. That happens to me every time. I have that exact problem every class I've been in. And even like if I go to Fox Chapter Guild meetings and they have an instructor who's doing something, even for me to take stitching just to sit at a meeting, I finally just quit doing it.
Yeah.
Because it, I was just wasting my time. You know, I was just wasting my time. And exactly that. Count over 40 now and we're going to do this stitch. Oh, wait a minute. I just got halfway through the last one. And I understand that they have to move along. But yeah, then you start to get all wound up because you're not keeping up in the class. And, never mind. I'll let them do that. And I'm going to go back and at least learn this much. And then now you've really missed out. And all right. So this is starting to, there's some benefit here. That's great.
Well, see, and I always tell my students in a face-to-face class or in my online classes or wherever, whatever, everybody has a way to stitch that is comfortable for them. And for you, if that is starting on page one and stitching everything on page one and then moving to page two, and stitching everything on page two and then moving to page three, that's fine with me. And because you can review the videos later when you come to that area, you can do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can stitch wherever you want. I even tell them in my face-to-face classes, if they want to, stitch on something else.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be working on this project. Just listen and pay attention and avail yourselves of all the resources that I'm making available to you.
Right.
And you can do it whenever, because everybody stitches at their own pace. Everybody stitches in a way that's comfortable for them. It's uncomfortable for me to jump around.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, see,
I didn't stitch the model that way. I started at a specific place and I stitched and everything that counted around it led to the next thing and led to the next thing. And so I didn't have a lot of counting errors and stuff I had to rip out and things like that, which is annoying. And so, yeah, stitch the way that is comfortable for you. And I give my students, they don't need my permission, but I always tell them, just stitch it however you want to. This is your project and have fun with it. We're supposed to be having fun.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that's just it. And not getting all worked up and right. tense and,
yeah.
You know, and then, yeah, all those things. Okay, so this, do you feel like the gap between, I don't know if I get this right or not, the learning gap, live courses to online courses, the difference, is it getting closer in that you're feeling like the online courses are at least in the ball game with live courses? Or is there still a pretty good gap in terms of how you feel the whole thing is working?
Well, I think that we're coming
I don't think
close.
I described that well at all. But.
No, that's fine. I think I understand what you're asking. There is an element to a face-to-face class that cannot be replaced by doing something online.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Face-to-face interaction, personal interaction is always better than remote or virtual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. Because when I'm teaching a class, let's say I go and I teach, let's say I'm going to teach for Fox Chapter. And I teach for 3 hours. And then we break for lunch. And I sit at lunchtime and talk to all of the students and get to know them. And then we stitch for 3 hours in the afternoon. Oh, and then it's time to go to dinner. Who would like to go to dinner? And you wind up with, you know, 10, 12 people going to dinner, getting to know one another, talking about stitching, talking about creativity, talking about all these other things. And that we will never have that.
No.
In a Zoom class or an online class.
Right.
And in class, we talk about all kinds of things and share with each other. And I learn from the students. They learn from me. And we're not going to have that in a Zoom class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, you can't replace that. Yeah.
Can't replace that. Now, the learning aspect of it, let's leave aside the social aspect of it, the interaction part of it. The learning aspect of it, I think, in some ways can be better with an online class because you don't have the time pressure. Oh, the teacher's only going to be here for 6 hours or only going to be here for 2 days or whatever, and I've got to get everything I can get in this time. With an online class, usually the way they're set up, it's a certain part 1 week, a certain part another week, a certain part another week. I am teaching some Zoom classes where we go all day, just like we would if we were in a classroom situation. But here again, I always tell the students, stitch what you want to work on. You will have the videos after. You'll have the recording after. Anything that you missed, you can go back and review, and I will be available to answer questions for years, literally for years. So
not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. I've had the same email address for the last 19 years. I don't have any intention of changing it. I've had the same phone number for longer than that. Don't have any intention of changing it. So you can find me.
Yep. So then from an educational perspective, there's a good case to be made that it is better. It's certainly equal, if not better. And but you're right. You'll never replace the person to person in the same room, out to lunch, out to dinner, getting up for breakfast, stitching in the lobby of a hotel, all those things that are just fun and really add to the memories of an event. It can't replace those. But education-wise, there's a lot of pluses. And then the other part that for me is the ability to reach people and for people to participate who normally could not.
Right.
To me, that is really big.
It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be underestimated. I think that the accessibility of having things that are virtual and online allows more people to take classes.
Yep.
Because everybody has something in their life situation that would hinder them taking a class. They don't have the time. They can't get time off work. They can't take time away from their family. They have young kids that they're taking care of. They've got elderly parents that they're taking care of. They've got somebody else that they're the caregiver for. They can't leave.
Right, right.
Or they don't have the money, and it can be very expensive.
Right. Yeah, and there, that's huge, because the cost of a class versus the cost of a class and plane and hotel and food and time away is that's a big gap. Yeah.
Yes, huge.
Yep. So, okay. And then, yeah, and then, like you said, people who have mobility problems yet can sit and stitch. They just gain a lot, because they can,
right,
they can be involved, they can participate, they can try these new things and have the instruction. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's okay. So there's, you know, I just see a lot of positive in this aspect of dealing with a pandemic. And it's, you know, it's just tragic that it has to be a pandemic that provides this. Would we have gotten there eventually? Sure, we would have. But the pandemic has forced it and forced all of you designers, instructors, to dig in and learn the technology, or, you know, your business just dies.
Right.
So you've had to dig in and learn it, invest in the equipment. But then, you know, long term, I think you're going to realize a big payout in terms of return on investment. I think it's going to be significant. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, a lot of times people don't understand that there is some expense that's involved. For instance, I have a professional level Zoom subscription,
mm-hmm, yep,
as opposed to relying on the,
yep,
free one. And so the reason why I do that is so that I can have a longer session than 45 minutes. I can record the session. I have some options that I would not have otherwise, but I have,
right,
to pay for that.
Yep.
So yep. I do.
Same here to do these podcasts.
Yeah.
I was just counting up today. We're coming up, it won't be too many more weeks. We'll do 400 podcasts. You know, that's all stored. Every one of them, you access to that, 400 of them. And then you look at the bandwidth it takes, mm-hmm, to download 25 to 30,000 of those podcast files twice a week. And yeah, I get a bill every month from the provider, and it keeps going up. You know, there's no discounts.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
yeah. Same
exactly.
Kind of thing. Yep.
Well, yeah, you know, we have to pay for our internet service.
Yep.
I have a computer. I have a microphone that we had to buy because we weren't satisfied with the sound quality. We have studio lighting that we had to buy. We have a video camera that's not attached to my computer that we had to buy. We've got, you know, all this other, you know, I've got desks and chairs and all kinds of stuff that I've had to purchase special in order to be able to do the things that I do and do them well.
Right.
I don't have to have it. I could still probably come up with something, but in order to produce the quality that I want to produce, we've had to do this.
Right. But worth it. You know,
worth it.
Yeah, because of what you're able to deliver and how many people you're able to help.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening before we started recording a video of a lady cyclist who does an awful lot of video work from. She lives in England, and she was starting to develop what needs to be done to do live cycling shows, and she commented, "Holy smokes! To do these and do these right, you can't just haul out your laptop and start talking." And,
right,
and like in any business where people are doing, providing content basically for YouTube, the people who do it well, who do live, you know, with a backdrop and active things going on behind them, and they can point to them and all that. It takes a lot of technology, but then those are the people that give you maximum benefit for, through the presentation. And, yeah, so you keep going back to them, and
right,
all the investment you make, so you can deliver good, clear, crisp images and good sound. Yeah, worth everything. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's well worth it. Definitely well worth it. And, you know, it takes some time, and I'm so grateful that my husband is technically minded.
Yep.
I'm so grateful.
Yep. It makes a difference. Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. He started doing AV when he was in high school. So.
Oh, he was one of those guys. Huh? Yeah.
He was one of those guys with the cart that came around to your class. Yes. That was him.
Yeah. Those guys who were the butt of all jokes in school are now gold. Yeah.
Oh,
cracks
me
up. Yep.
Yeah. We have commented on that several times.
Yep.
Don't peak in high school.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, those guys are gold. Give me those guys. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I was anxious to talk to you about that because I thought that after a little experience there that we were starting to see the value of these online courses beyond just simply being able to deliver a class when we can't gather. But also for you designers, you know, there's another value in that it makes you more resistant to these kinds of events where your business does not have to stop, your design work, your education does not have to stop because of a pandemic. You can keep going. And of course that, you know, obviously for you from a profit and loss perspective is important, but also for the hobby, that doesn't all have to come to a screeching halt either. And people can continue to benefit. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they say that necessity is the mother of invention, and I think we're really seeing that.
Yes.
I agree with you. I think we would eventually have come to this, but we had to dive in the deep end,
yes,
head first, and be successful.
Yep.
I mean, there was no, oh, well, maybe we'll do one of these every once in a while and see how it goes, and you know, no. It was sink or swim, literally. It was sink or swim.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly that. Yep. And, well, okay, so there's some pluses coming out. Yeah, I figured that there were, and I figured as we got a little further along the learning curve that we'd really start to see the true benefits. And the nice thing is they're not going to go away after the pandemic does. They'll be there. And it gives you so much more to work with in terms of, and it's not just you. I mean, it's designers all around the world, so much more to work with in terms of delivering new designs, new education, new content. It's just, for me, I see it as opening a lot of doors for you, you and other designers that you haven't had in the past. And, you know, there's a plus for the hobby there too, because there's so many people all over the world that can take advantage of that.
Yeah. Well, like in my Zoom class this morning, we had one of my students from the UK. Of course, it was the afternoon for her, but
yeah.
But she joined in. And
right.
I've had students at the same time from Canada, the United States, the UK, and New Zealand, all at the same time, all in one class.
Yeah. Well, and then that gives, you know, that gives everyone the picture of what a global hobby this is.
Yeah.
And then for Counted Canvas, you know, that is not a big thing at all in Europe.
Mm-mm,
and so now you're able to expose people to the fun of doing that. And that's,
Oh, yeah.
I hope it catches on over there because they're missing out. it's just culture, you know, and history, a lot of history there. In terms of what constitutes needlework. And
Well, you know, their idea of canvas work is Penelope canvas and like Petty Point.
Yep.
That kind of thing. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, when I got to go to Scotland a couple of years ago, and I hope I get to go back, and I don't know if I ever will, but and I went to the Weems School of Needlework, and I was working on my Counted Canvas project, and the other ladies were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't even get colored canvas. They said, "Where did you get that canvas?" I said, "Well, it's a Swigert canvas." "Well, we have Swigert canvas, and we can't get that." And so they were gonna talk to their salesperson. So, why can't we get colored canvas?
Yeah, what's the problem?
And, yeah, what's the problem here? And they had not seen Rainbow Gallery threads and all the things. Y'all have all the neat stuff in the States, and I was surprised that a couple of the ladies said that, oh yeah, they go to the States 2 or 3 times a year, and they take an empty suitcase and they go to a needlework store and load up.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And they said, you just don't know how lucky you are.
Haul it back. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, that's there's some big pluses going to come out of this. So, yep. I think so. We just got to get past this pandemic thing. Yuck.
Yes.
We will. We will. All right. That's going to be it, I think.
Okay.
Yep. Time flies when you're having fun.
We didn't cover everything on the list.
Okay. What new? What new? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Why should this conversation be any different?
That's right. That's right. All right, folks. Tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, we get to have April show us lace from all over the world. That's going to be fun. Join us on the YouTube channel. I've said this before, but I had a couple of people ask me last week. The best way to do these Wednesday night live shows, our Stitch Hour, go to YouTube and just search for Fiber Talk. It'll come right up. And then subscribe there. You have to subscribe to YouTube, even if you're subscribed through a podcast app or through the Fiber Talk website. That's just for the audio podcast. You have to go to YouTube and subscribe for the live shows and the video things. And then when you do, you click on subscribe, and then there's a little bell icon to the right. There are actually 3 of them. Just move your cursor up and down. Choose the one that gives you notification of all things. And then you'll be subscribed. Then every time that we're going to do a live show or do something on YouTube, then you'll get a notification, and it will make it a whole lot easier for you. And it's just like with the audio podcast, the Wednesday shows like this one and the Sunday shows, if you use a podcast app and just simply subscribe to Fiber Talk, then it will get downloaded for you automatically, and you don't have to think about it. It'll be on your device, your phone, your tablet, whatever it is, and then you can listen to it. And those are the easiest ways to do it, and it just eliminates all the hassle. And then you don't miss out on things, because this person had written, I always miss out on the live shows. Well, she was registered to Fiber Talk for the podcast, the audio podcast, but didn't know she had to register on YouTube for the live shows, because that's the only place the live shows happen. And so once I got her oriented, then she was good to go. So do that, and then you won't miss out on things. So like tonight, you'll be able to see the Lace Festival, which is going to be fun. All right, Debbie. Good to go. Debbie'sDesigns.com. Check out that February heart thing. That is pretty neat stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I also have a free stitch along. You know, I post every Monday. I post the instructions. So don't have to buy a thing. Just have to go to the website and look at it.
Burn up some stash. Yep.
Yep. Burn up some stash.
All right.
That's exactly right.
There we go. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks to everyone for listening.
Well, thank you.